Well, today's Mother's Day, so to those of you who are mothers in our congregation and throughout our community, I want to wish you a very blessed and happy Mother's Day. Today, our scripture text comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and it's a passage where Paul, in a very personal way, talks to Timothy and is reminded of the faith that dwells in Timothy's life, that first dwelt in his grandmother and in his mother. And so today our topic is about how to have an indwelling faith, a sincere faith, a faith that is genuine and authentic, as well as a faith that is dynamic. And we see that as Paul addresses Timothy and uses some very unique language in this text and in others in 2 Timothy. So today, I hope you have your Bible. I hope that you'll be able to follow me on the listening sheet as we look together at this great text of Scripture. Paul says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." You know, I remember sitting on my grandmother's couch years ago. I used to love going to my grandmother's apartment. She and Granddaddy lived just a block away, so it was a frequent trip for me and for my siblings. And it was always fun when it was our special day to go by ourselves. And I can always recall, you know, a great meal and lots of fun, and usually a trip to the Five and Dime to buy something that was kind of cool or that I wanted. But, you know, the thing that really stands out in my mind is sitting on the couch and listening to my grandmother tell stories. I look back on it, especially right now, and I'll make the connection here if you'll hold on with me for just a moment. I remember my grandmother talking about things like World War II and the Great Depression. She lived through the Spanish flu. I'm not certain exactly how it impacted her life because I don't remember those stories. I remember the hardships that she went through when she lost both of her parents. Later, her brother would die in a swimming accident. And somehow, my grandmother made it. Somehow, she moved from Georgia to Birmingham, where she had an older sister that basically adopted her and helped her, grow up during that time of our history. And she met my grandfather, and they married. They were very active in their little Baptist church in the community. It was the same little Baptist church that I would later grow up in and eventually get baptized and understand my call to ministry. But it was my grandmother's stories that had an incredible impact on my life as she talked about all the things that she had gone through, but yet always had a sense of God's providence, God's care, God's guidance in her life. And I think that's what Paul is talking about with Timothy as we see these words in our text today. So if you have your listening sheet, I'm going to give you five things really quick as we kind of walk through this. And we'll look at a couple of other passages from 2 Timothy that help us understand it. But here's kind of the point that I would drive home. I think that COVID-19 and the shutdown, the economic downturn, everything associated with it, the loss of life, the loss of so many year-end celebrations that people normally take for granted, I think we are going to be, in some ways, like my grandmother. We're going to look back for years, and we're going to talk about this season of life. Even people today who are as young as our high school graduates or our children and our children's ministry here at this church, they are going to one day tell their grandchildren about the COVID-19 shutdown and what life was like. This is always going to be one of those markers in history. Well, as we look at these lines and I think about the marks of a sincere faith, a faith that is authentic, a faith that is genuine, What Paul says to Timothy about this, first of all, is that a sincere faith has a high view of Scripture. We see that just a few pages later in this same letter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul's making a very obvious connection. The Old Testament scriptures that certainly Timothy would have had access to, Paul is reminding him, these scriptures pointed you to Christ. And a high view of Scripture is always going to be one of the marks or the characteristics of a faith that is sincere and genuine. The second thing, I think, would be a high view of God. In that same passage, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we get that little series of words, training in righteousness, reproof, correction, for teaching. All of those things are important. A high view of God says that when God's Word corrects me, we understand, of course, that's God's Spirit correcting us, that we have such a high view for God that we're going to turn and change course. God's Word teaches, and so we're going to apply it to our life. It contains that which is going to make us complete or finished, which gets to our third fill in the blank on this. The third mark is that it finds its true satisfaction in God. You're going to find lots of things that might could bring satisfaction in life, but a high view of Scripture, a high view of God, a mark of a truly incredible, indwelling, sincere faith is that we turn to God for every satisfaction in life. We've learned that He's that faithful, that He's that dependable. And so no matter what the world may offer, we recognize that God's offer is always better. The fourth mark is that it multiplies. How did Timothy come to know Christ as his Savior? His father, according to Scripture, was a Greek. There's nothing written that tells us Timothy's father's name. So as far as we know, he had never made a profession of faith in Christ. We think about his mother and his grandmother, both of whom came from Jewish backgrounds, but who had given their hearts to Christ. Well, one of the characteristics or standard marks, if you will, about a sincere faith is that it's going to multiply. We're going to share Christ with others. We're going to tell our story. We're going to make certain that people know that even though there were tough seasons of life that we went through, we found God to be faithful and dependable. And people are going to ask us one day, what is the hope? What is the cause or the reason for the hope that is in you? And at that point, we can hear Timothy's mother and his grandmother both sharing with him that Jesus, in fact, made all the difference. The final mark is that a genuine, sincere faith perseveres to the end. Given the short lifespans of Paul's day, it's possible that the language he uses in those first verses of 2 Timothy really give evidence to the idea that Timothy's grandmother and even his mother have already passed away. But that being the case, Paul seems to underscore, just by referring to their faith, that it kept them to the end. They didn't abandon it. They didn't turn their back on it. They never quit. They never gave up. It might have been hard with a son-in-law or a husband who was Greek and didn't give attention to the spiritual leadership of the family. But yet, these two women persevered to the end, and by doing so, Timothy was able to see from their example a faith that was indwelling, that was vibrant, that made a difference. And Timothy wanted that as well. I turn to some applications. So I hope that as you're joining me in this study today, that you're also looking ahead and you're reading. We've been reading together through 42 days of Paul's writings, and we're going to be in 2 Timothy pretty soon. And as you get to that, I hope that you'll think about making the application that I see in this passage in Timothy's life. And the application first would be this, to be grateful. You know, if you had a godly grandmother or a godly mother or even a godly father, grandfather, other family member, then today I want to encourage you to simply pause and be grateful. Whether it's Mother's Day or whether it's Father's Day, we have Memorial Day coming up, or we remember our soldiers who served our nation. And whatever the memory is of an influencer who gave something so that you might see Christ in their life or who pointed you to faith, today I just want to encourage you, be grateful. But then the second thing is to be an influencer too. I want you to be as faithful an influencer as that person was who was faithful to influence you. That may mean that if you're a parent, you're going to make absolute certain that you do everything you can to model the life of Christ before your children. The same if you are a grandparent. You know, I don't know that my grandmother was that conscious of what she was doing, but it really made an impression on me. There was something that said that her faith was real. You know, one of my favorite photographs of my grandmother Lewis is a photograph that was made years and years later, almost close to the time of her death. She and my grandfather were standing together, and there was an incredible smile on both of their faces. Their eyes were lit up like I can remember them so often as they would talk about things in the house. They were always happy. And it says to me that no matter how difficult the days are, they don't stay that way. And they certainly lived through some difficult times, but there was a joy that was theirs because of the Lord. And so be an influencer, encourage others with your faith, no matter how difficult it is now, point to the providence of God and the confidence that is yours in His unfailing, fresh mercy that is there every day. Finally, I want you to cultivate that kind of faith now. Cultivating it means you're going to have to work at it like a gardener. You know, if you want to have pretty flowers, there has to be a gardener. And so you have to cultivate something that you want. But I also want to remind you that there's some urgency with that. Cultivate it now. Remember when Jesus was sharing the sermon that Matthew records in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7? We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And as Jesus got to the very end of that sermon, he talked about a wise and a foolish builder. The foolish builder went out without a foundation and used, you know, inexpensive material. He built a house, but the rains came down, the floods came up, and great was the destruction of that house. Without a foundation, your house isn't going to make it. You have to cultivate it now. The wise builder went out, and as he dug a foundation and paid the price for the right materials, he built the kind of house so that when, not if, but when the rains came, the storms blew, the floodwaters rose, that house stood strong. Well, I want to tell you today some steps. This is pastoral counsel on how you and I can cultivate that kind of indwelling, incredible, dynamic, authentic, genuine kind of faith. And so we start with God's Word. Every morning, you need to make it a priority to find yourself in between the pages of God's Word. Whisper a prayer as you begin and say, God, show me what I need to hear, what I need to see, what you're going to teach me with your Spirit. If there are areas of correction, God, make me a sponge to be able to absorb your Word this morning. And then give yourself to that kind of study. Make it a habit. It needs to take place every single day in your life if you're going to be a possessor of this kind of faith that Paul affirms in Timothy's life. Second, I would say simply to lean in. You know, God always works with a motive. Nothing happens by chance. I don't believe in circumstantial things just unfolding. I believe there's a God of providence. Sometimes, quite frankly, often, I don't always understand His ways or His timing or why things happen that I don't understand. But here's what I do know. When I lean into God, when I lean into His ways, when I lean into the circumstances and trust in His providence and His care, God takes care of things. Third, don't settle. And specifically on this, I'm saying don't settle for any substitutes. Timothy was made aware of the faith that dwelt first in his grandmother and in his mother. And in his day and time, there were so many options for substitutes. But Timothy held strong to his faith, and his faith grew. And so my encouragement to you as well is don't settle for less than God's best. Every substitute that I have ever depended on, always, without question, left me with nothing but remorse and regret. Don't settle, my friend. God has something so much better. And His promises are true. And I want to encourage you to hang in there for them. We get to number four, which is simply this, to share what you know. I love the book of Philemon. It's one of Paul's shortest little letters, and you'll love it too when we get to that part of our reading. But in Philemon, Paul makes the statement to his friends there in that church, and to Philemon specifically, when he says, I pray that you will be faithful in sharing your faith so that you will know every good thing that is yours in Christ Jesus. My friends, what that means to me is that the more we share what we know, the more we share about Christ, the more we're going to affirm and learn about Christ. The more we witness, the more we're going to know about how to defend our faith. So share what you know. And finally, we come to one of my favorite words, and that is simply don't quit. Remember, for Lois and Eunice, they persevered to the end. That was a mark of their faith. And for you and me, it'll be the same way. There can be so many times in life that you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to throw the towel in. Maybe not always on your faith, but it could be on a relationship or a job or some friendship or some dream that maybe at one point was a God-sized dream. My friends, let's don't ever quit. Persevere to the end because God is faithful. He'll keep us. He'll watch over us. There's never going to be a time that will be beyond His care. Let me ask you to join me in a word of prayer, and we'll close our time of study for this Sunday. And I certainly hope and pray that what you've heard today will be an encouragement to you, to your faith, as you and I both seek to follow Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for the Scriptures that are reminding us today of all the truth of what took place in Paul's ministry to Timothy, how he remembered the faith of Timothy's grandmother and his mother, and how that made such a difference in his life. And God, for each of us, there are going to be circumstances, there are going to be opportunities, there are going to be things that will happen as we get the opportunity to encourage and to inspire and to influence people around us for the cause of Christ. Father, whether we're mothers or fathers or not, whether we are Sunday school teachers or whether we just have a coworker or a neighbor who's in need of a word of encouragement, God, help us to be the kind of influencers that are constantly nudging people closer to the gospel. This is my prayer today, thanking you for all the good things that you give us. In Christ's name, amen.